Welcome to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton, and welcome to another show where tonight I'm joined by Teddy McAllister, as always. Well, tonight the podcast sees the long-awaited return of its most regular segment, the Extra Time Show, which always follows Premier League games. After 3 months away, football is of course back, and we'll be looking back on our hard-fought 0-0 draw against Liverpool in our first game back. And Teddy and I will be joined for that by Owen Parks. And then later, with games now coming thick and fast, of course, in this resumed Premier League season, we'll be moving on to looking ahead to our next fixture at Norwich City on Wednesday in another match preview segment. As you know, the segments are separate on YouTube, so I will introduce the respective segments as we move through the podcast. So we'll get straight down to it and we'll introduce our viewers for our extra time segment. We are going to be looking back on Everton's long-awaited return to action with a credible draw against the old enemy. Everton 0, Liverpool 0 was the final score. And to go over it all again, I've got Teddy and Owen alongside. We'll start with you, Owen. Not quite the embarrassment we were anticipating, was it?
No, I thought Everton did very well. This could all have been a very different show if Liverpool got an early goal yesterday, because it would have upset our rhythm a bit. But we stuck to the task very well. For a team that didn't really have a recognised holding midfielder on the pitch, a lad on the right who was making, well, on the left who was making his first Premier League start, a lad on the right of Wobi was more of a natural number 10. I think our defensive display was very good in that sense. It wasn't perfect going forward. We look very sluggish in the final third with the final ball and that, but as a team who was playing Liverpool after a 3 month lockdown where they're desperate to win the league, I thought we did very well.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I think I made no bones about it. I think I was saying the other day that I wasn't going to watch it, and I kind of didn't. I was like, it was half watching it from like behind the sofa, just sort of trying to distract myself, but couldn't help but like keep popping it on every now and then, trying to see what was going on. And I was pleasantly surprised in the end that we, if anything, maybe should have nicked the win. I mean, Teddy, what did you make of it?
It was a well-executed game plan, I felt. Like, obviously, it wasn't nice on the eye at times, because clearly the game plan was to let Liverpool have a lot of the ball and try and hit them on the counter, which nearly did work at one point, you know, with the Tom Davies chance. But I think Ancelotti was just, you know, pragmatic. He had a look at what he had at his disposal and who he was coming up against. And, you know, forget it's Liverpool for a second. These are the best team in the league. If that's Man City yesterday, nobody's having any qualms about the attack and play. They're just like, oh, we've done a really good job on them. We did that a couple of years ago under Koeman when we went away to the Etihad. And we didn't have much attack and play there, but we got the draw and it was seen as a really good job done. And I think this game should be looked at in the same light, because yeah, it's not the same season as the one we were playing, because there's been a, you know, bigger gap than some, you know, some off seasons, some summers.
It is in the off season, I think.
Yeah, like, you know, 3 months between, you know, kicking off one ball and kicking the next one. I think that is bigger than the summer breaks, isn't it? But you know, I think he, as Owen touched on there, like, he's got players, you know, out of position. He's got, you know, key players missing. So he's gone out and done a job on them. And you know, I think every player did their part well. Some of them come in for some stick, like, you know, Iwobi. But clearly he'd been told, Iwobi, don't leave Coleman exposed, because there was times in the game where they started off with Minamino and Firmino both playing. And Minamino's on the right, but he's not playing like Salah plays on the right. He's coming in and they're playing in each other's pockets. So all the threat is coming from Mane on that left-hand side. So the defence, his job then is just to smother him, and he didn't get much joy, and it showed. I think it's a really good job done by Ancelotti to set out his team in full acknowledgement of what he had to work with and who he was playing against. And I think it's a good point, and it would have been an even better 3 points, but we're if to get that, we were banking on some luck going our way, and let's be honest,
that was the next thing I was going to touch on, actually. I mean, I think someone made a point on Twitter last night that even in games, derby games, where we play horrifically, we always get one really good chance. And it never seems to go our way, unless it's like a consolation after we've already let two or three in.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, how did we score two at Anfield playing that badly, but not score yesterday playing, you know, really well?
Exactly.
It's just the way it comes, isn't it?
Yeah, on the point of playing well, did we actually play that well, though? Because, obviously, I mean, we really grew into that game late on, the last sort of 20 minutes. But before that, I think, how good was the performance? Obviously, we defended well, but we didn't really get, like, any sort of rhythm going, did we?
No, I thought we were quite limited in what we had going forward. But this is a team who are 20-something points clear at the top of the Premier League. We set out to do exactly what we did, which was to nullify them, close the space down, sit quite deep and hit them on the break when we can. And that's what we kind of did. I don't think anyone's talking about any kind of deficiencies in the final third that Tom Davis scores or if Richarlison sneaks one in. I think it's more to do with how we were not clinical when we had the moments more than creating the moments. They had 10 shots and we had 9. And they had all the ball, so I think they created a far less with what they had than what we did. If we had a full strength team out and, you know, the gap between Everton and Liverpool was a bit short, so I'd say fine, we possibly could have done more, but I think it's difficult.
Yeah, to be fair, I think given what we were all going into with dreading, I think it's a very, very good outcome, and I think the lads should be commended for what they managed to get out of that game. I think I said regularly in the build-up to football coming back that I was fearful of Everton's fitness levels and maybe motivation. And to see them grind it out like that, I was actually very pleasantly surprised to see that. Terry, what did you make of the sort of work rate? Was it certainly better than the two derbies earlier in the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, work rate was second to none. You know, you could tell like the players really did, you know, want to get something from the game. But it's one of them. It's same. You know, we've mentioned it for them, but it was the same for us. We hadn't had a friendly going into these games. It's like playing a Merseyside derby. It's your first game of the season, but you haven't had a pre-season, and you've been off for ages. I was the thing I was most impressed with was the work rate, considering how rusty some of the players will be. I mean, it did show on a lot of players. Like, Andre Gomez wasn't great in possession and sometimes out of possession, but I rustiness played a part there. I just think, obviously, if this game had taken place when it was meant to and coronavirus never happened, it might have been a completely different game. You know, Liverpool could have been, let's be honest, Liverpool, you know, were better before the season stopped, but they were also having a really bad run of form, and we would have had our crowd say a bad run of form. They were having a blip, but it was their first blip of the season.
But so, on the other hand, though, we'd just been hammered by Chelsea 4-0 like a week earlier, so you know, we'd have been on our own.
Well, yeah, under Ancelotti, I don't think we'd have turned out that level of effort twice. Like, we might get beat twice in a row, we wouldn't be, you know, we wouldn't look like that twice in a row just from, you know, the standards he set. So I'm really pleased that, you know, going into the game, I was like everyone else, fearful, like, you know, are we going to come back really sluggish because we haven't had a friendly? Without the home crowds, are we going to be really poor because we're not that great away? Are Liverpool going to come back and they're going to be, you know, in really good form because they've had a longer rest than they would have ever had usually? There was a lot of things, you know, going around, you know, swimming through people's minds. And I think
every single one of those things you mentioned was swimming through my mind for weeks and weeks and weeks in the build-up to this.
Well, yeah, definitely. And I think the Man City results did sort of take the pressure off the supporters more than anything. I definitely felt a lot more relaxed about the game when that prospect was ruled out. But let's be honest, even if the City would have lost, they still wouldn't have won it because we turned up and we did the job we were meant to do. And it's encouraging. As much as the City results eased my fears, our performance eased my fears about if we're going to be able to turn up for the rest of the season. You can't count your chickens for results, but it shows that we're not going to be, I don't want to say it, but my fears of us doing a Schalke have eased somewhat because that result was It showed a good level of character and commitment from the players. And now
that's a very good comparison, actually, because I think Schalke came back with a derby against Dortmund and lost 4-0, didn't they, in the first game? And I think they've only won one since.
There's one big difference between Schalke and Everton. Schalke have David Wagner and Everton have Carlo Ancelotti.
Well, yeah, exactly. I was worried that I thought that was a possibility. And you know, as I said, you can't count your chickens yet. There's still a lot of games to go, but you can't dwell on the last result because you're going to go straight to Norwich now and build on it. There's no point getting a good point in the derby if you don't, you know, build on it with a win at Norwich.
I just remember that's just brought back Steven Gerrard to me. That's like, we go Norwich exactly the same.
Exactly.
I was really, really pleasantly surprised with the fitness more than anything else. I was very fearful. I always think that we're one of the least fit sides in the league. And to see us go toe-to-toe with arguably the fittest side in the league and do that, I was really, really impressed with that. Just one more thing before we sort of round it up. What did Everton have to do to win a derby? Because we had the chances again, didn't we?
We have to be very lucky to win the derby, and I don't think that's ever going to come when you have absolute idiots on the pitch like Mike Dean, who don't know one foul from another. Everything's a foul or nothing's a foul with him. Just clearly didn't have a clue, couldn't keep up with the pace of the game. And as for his assistant, Darren Cann, has he been to like some sort of this is how you not don't referee a Premier League game course? It's embarrassing, to be honest. So I'm even more pleased with the point that Mike Dean and Darren Cann were strutting the stuff than if it was an actual competent referee. There isn't many about, but Mike Dean and Darren Cann are by far one of the worst I've ever seen.
Well, I think that's another thing. We've done well in spite of we talk about the odds being stacked against us, but having those guys in charge of a game, it's a bit of a death knell sometimes, and so we've still got a point out of it in spite of that. And before we finish up, I've got to touch on one thing that I found absolutely hilarious from yesterday, and was we made the players change in a porter cabin.
Every game now, until the end of time, they're getting sent to that porter cabin.
Yeah. That is the best thing I've ever heard. I'm not sure what the situation. I know Tottenham have like loads of different changing rooms in their ground, and some have been like getting changed to arrive and all kinds of things. But making them get changed in the car park in a little port cabin, like as if you're at like a music festival, I just think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I would have every team ever now in that port cabin before the game.
No, I mean I've worked a couple of music festivals, and I've been on a campsite and been in one of them porter cabins and got changed myself in one of them, and I was just thinking that was so ming, and we've made the champions elect get changed in one of them, and it just brings joy to my heart just thinking what we've put them through yesterday. Like, well, given that, you know, what we Premier League footballers are used to as well, I just think that's a absolutely brilliant little touch from Everton, and yeah, like you say, long may that continue with the way sides coming to the others, and let's make them all change in the car park.
Yeah, all for that. Another thing as well. I get a lot of stick when I say he's terrible, but Seamus Coleman plays excellently. So I want to go on the record and say Seamus Coleman played well.
Yeah, he was man of the match, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. He was very good.
Yeah, played really well. It was like a throwback performance to when he was, you know, really when he was
unplayable.
Yeah, when he was the best, you know, right back in the league for Martinez's first season. He was just unplayable at times, and you know that was the Liverpool game wasn't, you know, his attacking best, but I don't think that was the job required. You know, Sadio Mane is one of the best players in the world, and he really did get the best of him.
Pocketed Sadio Mane this season. You can't think of many.
Exactly. I mean, it's he did an excellent job, and you know that was probably the hardest job on the pitch, was to, you know, man mark Liverpool's best attacking threat, and he did really well. But just on that porter cabin thing, I love that. It's not even just that it was Liverpool. It's just that when we've left Goodison, we'll look back on all the little things like that, going, when the season resumed, we had to put Liverpool in the park end in a porter cabin because the tunnel was too tight and changing. I think that is why. I think it's because the tunnel's too tight to maintain distancing. Because as you see, when, you know, under normal circumstances, they're sort of like, you know, one, then one, then one, then one, when the players are coming out with the two teams. There's not enough space to be side by side. And that's just part of the mystique of Goodison, that it was so tight and so small that we had to put Liverpool in
a porter cabin in the car park. I just think that's absolutely fantastic. And I mean, regardless of what the outcome of the game was, I just thought that was one of the best things I've seen for a long, long time. And, you know, it, shout out to like Dan Mice from that here. Make the Bramley Moor Tunnel really, really narrow. So just in case this happens again, we know where we're going to make them get changed in the dock.
Another thing, by the way, on that porter cabin, imagine if the Liverpool players were coming out that way by the park end with fans.
Oh my God.
It's terrible.
I just think it's quality though, and it's unbelievably like, it's hard to put into words just how amusing I found that when I first heard it yesterday. It was, and the fact that they didn't win as well, I mean, that just adds to it, of course.
But, we need to factor that into Bramley Moor, get a porter cabin built there permanently, just in case we've got a big game coming up.
Yeah, it's just one of them. Just like, oh, where's to just make them get changed in the dock.
Yeah.
It's one of them. It was just one of them that I couldn't get over it when we did it. And I wouldn't be surprised. We'll probably be doing that to every team that comes to Goodison between now and the end of the season. So, but just the fact that it was the very first time I've done it, it was against them and all their like players who were can't stand just in the freezing cold, having to go into a porter cabin one by one to get changed.
It was dancing down as well, wasn't it?
I know, it's a throwback. It's a throwback to like PE in school, isn't it, where they like make you like run out of a shitty little changing room, and it's brilliant.
They won't want to come back to Goodison anytime soon. Put it that way.
Well, that's exactly what I want, because I don't want them to come back to Goodison.
No,
if you don't mind. But just one thing before we finish, I forgot to mention Tom Davis. Obviously hit the post, and we'll all be traumatised by that miss for till the next winner derby probably. But what does it make of his performance? I thought he played really well.
I think he played well. Considering he was given a hard task, you know, he's in a two in midfield against a three, and you know, quite an industrious three. And you know, he had a few mistakes here and there. Like at one point he was carrying the ball and he tried to do like a chop, you know, to change direction, and just got completely the ball taken off him. And Charleston ends up giving away a free kick, which they, you know, put over the bar with, you know, a bit of help from Pickford. But I think on the whole, he performs well, you know, there's a bit of a hair trigger with Tom Davies to criticise him, and it's not always unjustified either. Like sometimes he is performing well, but you know, a lot of pressure on him, and he acquitted himself well, and you know, so at times, you know, he was carrying Gomez through spells of the game, and I'm a big fan of Gomez, so I'm not one to criticise him lately. I know Owen's a lot different than me on that count, but I think he plays, you know, quite well. He did his job well, and can feel happy with his shift when he finished.
I think it was interesting. I think we were all looking forward to seeing, maybe like everyone says, Tom Davis is maybe one of those who struggles with the pressure from the fans, and I think he was one of those who we were really looking forward to see actually without fans in the stadium and we performing. He didn't disappoint, which is interesting, because this might be a good opportunity for maybe kids who might come into a pressured atmosphere to make the mark and maybe stake the claim for a regular place in the Everton team.
I thought he played quite well. The thing with Tom Davis and some people is he never plays well, so even if he does, he doesn't. So it's a difficult one. That missed chance at the end won't do him any favours in terms of how he's looked back on in this game, but I thought he worked so hard. It's difficult as well with Gomez drifting in and out of position when he feels like it, that Tom Davis had to be the one who stuck in there. Richarlison even had to cover. at times. So I think the fact that he was in a one-man defensive midfield at the time, I thought he did quite well.
I think it was very, very impressive. And it's even more interesting. I've seen people saying, like, some people have said, like, Davis is awful and Schneiderlin's better than him and Delph's better than him. And I think that I'd like to think that performances like that, if he keeps it up, will put anything like that to bed. Obviously, Schneiderlin's on his way, if rumours are true, his medical's meant to be this week. And it's time to move forward and have a new look midfield. And do you think Davis has got a part to play in that now?
Well, it's sink or swim for him now, isn't it? I mean, the midfield, the centre midfield, is under the microscope now because obviously the new manager's come in, immediately identified the centre midfield as an area of weakness and something that, you know, he's changed the sort of makeup of straight away by making it a two-man midfield. So, you know, Schneiderlin's on the way out. Gabamon's injured again long term. Davies now is in, across these, you know, next eight games. I don't think it's harsh to sort of state that he needs to have the type of run that Calvert-Lewin and Holgate went on this season. Like the start of the season, Holgate and Calvert-Lewin, I think the jury was very much still out on the two of them. Now, the two of the most nailed-on starters in the Everton team. And I don't mean just, you know, oh, they'll play until they have a bad game and they'll go out again like a lot of young players do. They're now two of our most established, you know, first teamers. And if Davies wants to have an, you know, a future at the club in the short term, then he needs to make his mark now. And he's got a no better chance than this because he's young. He's not got a, you know, bad injury record at all. And that sets him apart from most of the other centre midfielders. So he's going to get a lot of minutes. I need to stand up and be counted. And it's a good start. There'll be easier games than Liverpool, to be fair. But
definitely,
he's got to do it now. He's got to have that Holgate and Calvert-Lewin sort of run, which they have had. And if he doesn't, I think, you know, people are going to get their wish, and he's going to end up out on loan with a view to being sold while we look at other options. But it's definitely there for him.
But if there's anyone I think we'd all like to see succeed, it'd be Tom Davis.
Yeah. The thing with Tom is that he's such a likeable person off the pitch that you don't really want to criticise him.
You're compelled to like say he's bottom, don't you? Just because he's a cracking character.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. His work rate was second to none, so I can't really criticise anything else because I thought he gave his body to Everton yesterday, to be honest. And I know Alex Iwobi came into stick, but when you're a number 10 playing right wing back, I don't think he did too bad, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think there's many players you can criticise at all from putting in that kind of display after 3 months out and getting a decent result against Liverpool. I think everyone pulled away to some extent. So, considering the two derbies we've witnessed already this season before that, it's massive strides forward in that respect.
And Jordan Pickford didn't give me an heart attack.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a good thing as well, you know. But there you go. We'll leave it at that. That's about... I thought we'd be looking back on a defeat today, so I'm really, really pleased to be able to have this kind of discussion in a bit more of an objective manner and a bit more of a... certainly in a more pleasant mood than I was expecting. So, you know, we can't argue with it. And it's, as Steven Gerrard said, we go Norwich exactly the same. Question is, what about Martina and the ass? You know, they're fringe players who we saw Martina's name on the subs bench, obviously didn't get used. But what do you think about that? Because obviously it's meant to be that there's a decision being made on their futures today or tomorrow. And it'd be interesting to see what was there.
At the time of recording this, there's no decision being made. It's just that the decision is about to be made. I think we know. The decision has been announced for Stekelenburg. Is going to extend his contract and then move on to Ajax. I think if the other two were going to stay, then we probably would have found out when we found out about Stekelenburg. I think it's just a case of, you know, those two, you know, Martina and Nias, those two were on the slide in Marcel Brands' presentation at the AGM. I know that was a long time ago, but they were actually in the corner of the squad analysis under a little title that says working on moving out or something like that. So,
oh, wow.
So I think if Yerry Mina and Sidibe come through, you know, come through training today and are past fit, then I think the two of them will go. I can't see us needing them if we, you know, don't get any injuries before the deadline.
Personally, I think we should get rid of them, injuries or no injuries. I mean, I can't see how there's possibly the kids in the under-23s are any worse than those two.
Well, I know I could just see that I'm the club are being very careful, which, you know, is you know the right thing to do. But Niaf's not even making the bench when there's two goalkeepers on the bench. Spoke volumes about whether he's going on, or I couldn't suddenly see him getting a few extra £1,000 of wasted money out of us. Martina, yeah, he's crap, but he's not quite, you know, in Niaf's boat. We've got three strikers, and none of them have had any injury doubts so far, whereas the defenders have. So Martina's got a better chance than Niaf, and a 1% chance is better than a 0% chance, I guess.
Yeah, something tells me it'll be a clean sweep as far as getting rid of those two is concerned, but we'll have to wait and see. Probably by the time this comes out, we might have heard there's been a decision, but
Could hopefully by the time this comes out that Schneiderlin's gone as well.
Oh yeah, he's meant to be having a medical this week, isn't he?
Well, I read it as that he's had the medical. He's just waiting on the agreement from Everton to be confirmed on the money, which I can't see that going wrong. I mean, touch wood, but there's another waster off the books.
Absolutely, and I think what really matters is, I know it's a very small amount in the grand scheme of things, but the month of July, which sees us through to the end of the season, will Schneiderlin be going before the end of the season? It'll be an immediate thing, or will we be stuck with him until our season's over?
No, as far as I am aware, as soon as I would imagine, I don't know actually, but I would imagine as soon as he's signed for another club, even if it hasn't gone through yet, that you probably sign something to the effect so you won't play him before that, because what if they've agreed to pay, you know, whatever amount it is for him, and he's all signed up and ready to go,
and then he gets injured playing for us.
Yeah, the breaks his leg playing for us. I mean, even if it is possible to do, I couldn't see the club jeopardising the move like that, especially when
crucial to get that kind of heavy wage money off the wage bill.
Yeah, yeah. And plus, he's injured anyway. I don't know how he's passed the medical. Maybe they're just doing all the bits except that one, but I can't see him being ready to play for a while anyway. By the time he's fit, our season will probably be over.
But I think it's also, I think France have already cancelled their season, haven't they?
Oh yeah, they've well cancelled it. They backed up ages ago.
So it's probably the transfer window will be normal for them. Probably it'll probably be active from the 1st of July. So I'd imagine it'll probably go through then.
In any case, whichever it is, starting to move out some of the deadwood, and you know, Schneiderlin, Niaf, Martina, it's a good start. Schneiderlin was the surprise one. I didn't think we'd be able to shift him, but you know, very good. It seems to be that we have, you know, not jinxing nothing, touch wood, because it still hasn't gone through yet, as I say that.
But yeah, it's certainly a move in the right direction to start shifting these players. I think to see three of the most probably disliked names, if you like, in the first team squad all looking like they're on the way is finally maybe looking like we're getting to reshaping the squad the way we want it to be. Interesting one though, of course, is Mohamed Besic is coming back, isn't he, from his loan at Sheffield United?
Yeah, he's been bombed out, hasn't he, basically. As far as, you know, from what you read and what Chris Wilder said, I think Besic's agent played funny buggers with an extension. He wanted more money than they were willing to offer, and he's been told where to go, and he's come back to Everton, and he's still contracted to Everton. We can't use him by any means because he wasn't registered for our team, but he's much like Bolasie, he's back now just training and waiting to get the good word. The two of them will be on the out list, just see if we can pull off any more miracles and get someone to take them off our hands.
And that's a shame, really, because it looks as if the Sheffield United fans seem to have taken to him, which meant we might have been able to shift them. But so be it.
Yeah, I mean, it you know, there'll be other suitors. Either he hadn't really pulled up trees at Sheffield United, and he is not one of those completely, you know, lost players where you just think, like, with Schneidlin, I'm surprised we got someone to take him because he is terrible. Even though he was playing Premier League games, but he was on a huge wage. So for someone to take him, I thought his wages were going to be prohibitive. Like, if you're Bezic, you can't be on as much as Schneidlin's on. So and
no, he's not.
He won't be. So it's probably easier to, you know, find a suitor for him than a high wages, you know, waste of space. So if you can find one for Schneidlin, maybe you can find one for Bezic. If you're a team abroad, maybe you see Bezic and go, you know what, he's, you know, he's still relatively young. You know, his injury problems seem to be behind him. I mean, you know, to be honest, he was an all right player. He certainly, you know, wasn't.
I liked him in his prime before he done that bad injury in 2016.
Yeah, he's been a little bit unlucky because he's been caught up between managers quite a lot, which is not his fault. Like, you know, he's been injured and we've changed managers, and then he's, you know, been lost in the shuffle and we've changed again and again and what have you. But I think quality wise, even if he'd been at the club the whole time and was raring to go, I can't see it. He's not good enough to, you know, make a difference at Everton. He was all right at the time, but he's a Roberto Martinez player. That's how long he's been here, and, you know, he hasn't established himself. And, you know, can blame a little bit of luck in there. But at this point, if he was playing, I think he'd be one of them like Schneidlin, who Ancelotti probably would make a ruling on very quickly and go, not good enough for what I want to do. So,
play.
Iran Balassi, can see them just.
And then you're forgetting about the ultimate challenge, Sandro.
I mean, the fact that we're getting rid of Schneidlin fills me with hope, because there are teams who like Sandro. Is just his wages feel prohibitive because he's on such big wages. With 1 year left, he could just turn around and say, no, I'm going to get these wages for one last year, which I'll never get again in my entire career. I'll never see this type of money again. So I would be very impressed if he managed to move him out. But I'm filled with renewed hope because we did pull it off. We have seemingly pulled it off once with Schneidlin. So maybe we can, you know, come to some arrangement that Valladolid, or however you say it, I can never say it.
Valladolid,
yeah. Better. Whoever that Spanish team want to take him, but it's quite expensive for them to take him. But I'm sure we can come to some arrangement with somebody. But if not, it's not long to go. He's only got 1 year left, and he can just be choked up as an expensive mistake.
And now we're moving on to looking at the Norwich game in our match preview. Terry, how are you feeling going into this one? Obviously, I think everyone's mood's been lifted by the fact that we didn't get absolutely whacked by Liverpool. But obviously, that's a different game. You talk about the team top of the league. We're going into this one against the team who are bottom of the league. How do you see this going?
It's hard to really know what to think because everything's so different now. You can't really go into games now, you know, with confidence. So, well, we got to draw against the team at the top of the league. So we're going to go against the team that are at the bottom of the league, and that should be easy. You know, we'll beat them at a canter. It won't work like that. Like these games coming so quick, one after the other, and, you know, after having so long off, I think we're going to get some strange results, and it will come down to who's the most prepared and who's the fitter team. So clearly in the Liverpool game, Liverpool were not fit. No, neither were Everton, but we were a lot fitter than I expected, considering we'd had
I was very pleasantly surprised by how our fitness levels looked, given that we were playing Liverpool and we held out very well. And if anything, we looked the stronger later on, which is a good sign, to be fair. It says a lot about maybe what Carlo Ancelotti's doing behind the scenes. I don't know if you've seen any of the Norwich stuff from their last game.
I did. Who did they play? I did watch it. It was at Southampton.
Southampton, yeah. They took a 3-0 beating. Like, it was a pretty heavy beating they got.
Yeah. I did watch that. And as I say, a fitness thing really did play into it, because I think that there was a lot of rustiness from Norwich. And it made, you know, Redmond and Ings look like they were absolutely rapid, you know, because the Norwich players obviously weren't up to scratch fitness-wise. So the players with natural pace and natural, like, you know, with natural bursts in their game, really stood out. Now, if we can do something similar with Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison, then hopefully we could get similar joy. And I'm not sitting here, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, I'm scared that Norwich, after having that game, will now suddenly, you know, their fitness will have dramatically improved. But it's more a case of you don't know how much the Liverpool performance will have took out some of our players. It's very difficult to, you know, go into any game with 100% confidence or to be completely worried, because we did a lot better than a lot of people expected against a very good Liverpool team. So it really will just depend on, you know, what condition some of the players are in, what team we pick. I mean, there's a very good chance we'll rotate, given, you know, the shift that some of the players put in against Liverpool. Maybe not heavy rotation where we suddenly see a half a team change, but I think one or two faces could come in, and certainly there'll be more substitutions and earlier substitutions in this game than we saw against Liverpool. So it just depends, really. It's very hard to predict, which is making these preview videos
But it's believe it or not, it's time for me to use probably the buzzword of the coronavirus lockdown: unprecedented. And it's an unprecedented scenario that we can't really figure out. What we've never really had back-to-back Premier League games on a regular basis like this, and certainly not so early in the season off the back of next to no pre-season, if you know what I mean. So we can expect a lot of rotation, but what sort of players do you think might drop out of the team who maybe got a start against Liverpool?
Well, I certainly couldn't see any of the, you know, injuries permitting. I certainly couldn't see any of the back four or the keeper changing. Midfield, possibly. I think Anthony Gordon might come out, and you could see possibly Sidibe come in. I think what we saw against Liverpool was a team that was set up which probably had Sidibe in mind, you know, Shields and Seamus Coleman with Iwobi on the left rather than the right, like he was in the derby. But who knows? Andre Gomez could come out. He didn't have the best of games. He certainly, you know, didn't do anything particularly wrong, but he was a little bit wanting at times. We could see maybe Fabian Delph come in.
Is Delph fit?
I don't know. Mina and Delph were apparently touch and go for the Liverpool game, so they could come in for the Norwich game. I would like to think that we wouldn't make too many changes if we didn't have to, because it was such a good performance against Liverpool. Obviously, there'll be a lot more expected of the wide players to contribute creatively against Norwich than there will have been against Liverpool. I certainly think it will be. We'll have more, you know, onus on him to, you know, get involved in the attack and play than he did, because he won't be playing against Sadio Mane this time, with all due respect to Norwich. So, I don't know. I could see maybe two changes. Sidibe in for Anthony Gordon, and then you might see someone come in to midfield. But I would certainly suggest that none of the back five would lose their place if fitness permits.
Yeah, certainly. I think we'll do our utmost. It'll be the midfield, I think, that we'll see the most changes. We'll do our utmost to keep a bit of consistency in the lineup. It's an odd one, though, because obviously it's only 3 days between our first game back after a long layoff, and it does make you wonder. Norwich have had a slightly longer rest than we've had. They played on Saturday. Could that have any kind of impact on it?
Could do. I mean, I think you'll see that a lot over the over these next 8 games. You'll see, not just us either, you'll see teams who've had a slightly longer rest but might have a little bit of an edge over the others, because, you know, fatigue and tiredness and fitness will play such a huge part. Everyone's saying they're expecting the teams with the bigger squads with quality depth to, you know, to have an edge. Well, that'll be just the same with the days, with the extra days rest. You'll see teams flag later in games if they've had a day less, and hopefully that doesn't happen to us. But there'll be a couple of things I think we'll see. You know, even if we don't change the lineup, I think the subs will come a lot earlier. Clearly in the Liverpool game, I don't think Ancelotti was looking to make, you know, many subs. He probably wasn't planning to make any that he didn't have to. But I think this time we probably will. I think you'll see Moise Keane introduced a lot earlier, just to either give one of the front two a little bit of a breather, or maybe we could put Richarlison back out on the right again, depending on how the game's going. But
it's good to have that kind of flexibility, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it could be too early to be thinking about making multiple changes. I don't know, but I would not be shocked if we, you know, were to see some strange rotation. You know, if we suddenly, at one point, we're gonna see a team sheet and there'll be still be Calvert-Lewin just won't be playing and he'll be fit and everyone will, you know, lose their heads because that's just the way we've got to do. We'll be the same with Holgate. You remember against Palace when Mina didn't start and he put Michael Keane with Holgate and everyone has a meltdown. So I think Carlo's going to do more of that. He'll drop players out of the blue and it'll just be to maintain fitness, to keep everyone as fresh as possible because it's going to be difficult with all these games.
I mean, it's not a good thing because we got knocked out the FA Cup, but it's a cup weekend after the Norwich game and we've got a bit of a rest before our game after, which I think is Southampton. I'm not 100%, but...
I don't know.
I should have done my homework before I come on here and said all this, but I think having that week's rest might help us a little bit and maybe just gives us a bit of a license to go for it a bit harder against Norwich. I'm not sure. I don't think Norwich are still in the cup, are they?
Not sure. Yeah. We're so prepared on this. I didn't prepare for anything past the Liverpool game. That's all I could see.
Yeah, to be fair, I've been hiding behind my couch and like muting everyone on social media waiting to get that derby out the way. Yeah.
Something else about the fatigue as well. It's meant to be the hottest day of the year on Wednesday. It's be 26 degrees. So that could play a big part because those drinks breaks, I'm sure, will be a lot more appreciated in temperatures like that compared to the heavy rain of Sunday.
Certainly. I mean, I think it's going to be an interesting one to see how we can make the most of those drinks breaks as well.
It definitely helps if you're on the back foot because it breaks the game up. When Liverpool in the second half were having the long spell of possession, whilst that was, you know, by design, by us, you know, we were happy to let them have the ball and try and hit them on the break. That, you know, drinks break, it does, you know, it upsets the rhythm. Now, if you're a team that's going to be, you know, on the ball a lot more, which I suggest we will be on the ball more in the Norwich game than we were in the Liverpool game, might be something you don't want to happen because it upsets, you know, your flow. But I think at 26 degrees, after, you know, 3 days after the derby, I think every little breather will be welcome. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? I mean, there's looking at the bench we had, I don't think we're going to see as many kids as we expected, barring, you know, it being forced into it. I think we'll see Baines, we'll see, you know, well Moyes, Keane, what have you, but we won't see any other than maybe Gordon and possibly Branthwaite. I can't see us using a lot of the new faces that we haven't seen a lot of yet.
Of course, Norwich beat Everton, didn't they, in November in the deepest, darkest abyss of the Marco Silva era. And yeah. I mean, it coined the classic phrase, your man Sidibe, get over and whatnot. But, you know, there's plenty of memories, good and bad, from that game. Mm. Obviously, the lasting thing is that we got beat off a side bottom of the league at home. And it was probably the lowest ebb of our season, if you'd ask me. The club was absolutely lost at the time. What's changed since then? Obviously, Ancelotti's coming, but what do you think the difference will be now in the team? Obviously, what can we expect? We surely can't perform that badly again, can we?
Yes, you'd hope not. Well, that game, the spine of the team was... Well, this is... Considering after the Liverpool game, this is going to seem quite harsh, but the spine of the team was Michael Keane, Morgan Schneiderlin, Gylfi Sigurdsson and Cenk Tosun in the 4-2-3-1. Now, maybe a little bit harsh to include Keane in there after the Liverpool game, but Schneiderlin, Sigurdsson and Tosun in a 4-2-3-1 as the spine was walking football. They were so slow. They just offered little to nothing. Obviously, the famous Sidibe, Cliff Sidibe, didn't have a very good game at all. Iwobi came on and went on the right and didn't have a very good game at all. It was just an awful day at the office. I was sitting in the lower Bullens for this game, which I don't usually. And Schneiderlin was having a running battle with the stand because every time he got it, he passed sideways or backwards, and he got on his back at one point to pass forward, and he put the brakes on when he was about to pass to the fullback, moved the other way and passed it forward, and then shot the crowd a look as if to say,
"How'd you like that, eh?"
He didn't ping a great pass. He just changed his mind from the direction he was going to pass, which obviously was backwards, and passed slightly forwards, and then looked as if to say, all right, you know, like that.
Happy John, well.
John Stones calmed down to the park end moment.
Not on a level top. That infuriated me from John Stones.
The Norwich game was terrible, but now, you know, there's some players who've come to the fore since then. You know, like Mason Holgate was in the team, but he's really kicked on since then. You know, form-wise, Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison have made themselves a partnership. Andre Gomez, was he injured at that point? I don't know. I can't remember. But there's a new air about the team, like not just Ancelotti. You know, like the fact we're playing 4-4-2 is just a big deal, because 4-2-3-1 was what was on everyone's lips at the time, because it was not working.
It was the formation you didn't want to see. I never want to see it again. I haven't, after the number of managers who've subjected us to it.
No, exactly. I mean, 4-4-2 suits who we've got at the minute, and it'll work even better when we get better players. But that's the biggest thing for me. We've got players playing in a more comfortable formation for the most part, and it's brought about really good form for them. I mean, if we had a front two of Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison like they are now against Norwich at home earlier in the season, I think we could have won that game, because Norwich just did a really organised job on us, and we just didn't threaten them with anything because we're too slow. Cenk Tosun up front offering nothing.
On that note, what can we expect from Norwich this time?
Don't know. I would have told. I mean, before the lockdown, I might have told you, but it's hard to predict, isn't it? I mean, that, you know, Todd Cantwell's a good player. You know, we're going to have to be good in midfield again. Like we did a job on Sadio Mane with Coleman, and it won't be helping him. I think we'll have to play, you know, due attention and care in marking and tracking Todd Cantwell, because he's the player who makes things happen for Norwich. Pukki needs a goal, so you can put your house on him finally getting one against Everton. We're starting this game 1-0 down, as far as I'm concerned, because whenever a striker needs a goal, play Everton, as everyone knows. But Cantwell's the one to watch for me. Obviously, he's not quite Mane's level, but I think he'll require that sort of special attention the same way Mane did. If you can smother him out the game, you've got them. You know, you might have to beat him in Norwich.
It's definitely a good point. He is kind of the focal point for most of their attacks, and he scored, of course, against us in that infamous game in November, so all the more reason to keep tabs on him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it'll be massive if we can build on what was a good point against Liverpool and get a win. Not only is that an away win, but we'll get 4 points from the first two games back before we go into a rest. And imagine the atmosphere in the camp. There'll be a buzz. Everyone will be like, right, we're back and we're playing well. If we were to lose to Norwich, you know, it might, you know, puncture the enthusiasm a little bit and go, oh, you know, what a stop-start, you know, return we've had. You know, got a point against Liverpool, but lost to Norwich. And it's just about getting those away wins, because what the Bundesliga and the Premier League so far have shown, that behind closed doors, home form doesn't exist, because there's a massive swing towards away victories compared to what it's normally like. So,
we have seen that to an extent in the Premier League in the first weekend back.
Well, I was really worried, because I was petrified we might do a Schalke, you know, come back and just be absolutely terrible, because every game feels like an away game and we're not good away from home anyway. But the performance we put in against Liverpool has made me more relaxed about, you know, the prospect. It might be that we're actually much better away from home now, because there's no crowd, that it could lead to us having an upswing in form. It's still early days to, you know, just see the way, but it'd be great to get, you know, go into that weekend where we're free, the first little break we're going to have for a while, and we've got 4 points on the board and an away win. It'd just be brilliant.
Well, let's not forget, we talk about our fans being crucial to us doing well at home, but there's other teams that are even more reliant on their fans to do well, and it's particularly sides who are below us in the table, teams like an Orange. That could be a benefit to us, and hopefully it will be, because they played at home, of course, against Southampton the other day and got a bit of a hammering in the second half. Do you think it's going to be a game that will be won in the second half?
Yeah, I think they all are.
They all feel that way, don't they?
Yeah, because that's when fitness tells, and Norwich were killed by pace, and that's what you've got to bank on with Everton, that we've got some pace and some quality up front with our two strikers. If you can get through to the second half against any team, then, you know, like against Liverpool, you know, Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin started to give them real problems as the game went on. Everyone was sort of banking on, well, the last 20 minutes is when Liverpool are going to start, you know, turning it on, turning the screw, and teams get tired. Yeah, well, that's a fair comment, but the opposite happened in the derby, because Everton were, like, resolute and defensive for 70 minutes, and then Lovren comes on and our eyes light up, and then we start playing off him, and the pace of our strikers starts causing, which is funny, it started causing a freshly subbed player problems. You know, you'd think that the players who'd been on all game would have been struggling, but it was Lovren who was having, you know, the worst time of it of any of their players.
I was saying this to my dad today, actually. I mean, how is he still at Liverpool, given how far they've come?
He's there Schneidlin. He's too expensive. He's on 100 grand a week. And they gave him that when that was, you know, more than it is now. Still not a small amount now, but they make a lot more money now than they used to. And they can't get rid of him. I mean, he's only a fourth choice centre-back, but right now, all your whatever choice players are playing a part. They had two defenders or two of their back four come off with, you know, pulls or tweaks or what have you. So you're going to have to use players like that. And my mate texted me while the game was going on, and he said, and he just dreaded it. He went, oh no, if yous are going to win, it'll be his fault. And then obviously when we started playing on him, I was like, yeah, if we're going to win, it'll be through him. And that was the first analogy I thought of. When he's there, Schneidlin, he's an expensive
flop,
absolute lump who other teams can, you know, play on. You know, the amount of times we've seen Schneidlin just not tracking his man, and then the midfielder scores that he's not following.
Well, that Campbell goal against Norwich was actually because of him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Lovren is there, one of them. And that's what I think is going to happen in most Premier League games, and certainly will happen in Everton games if we're going to get... You know, if I think our wins will come like that as the game goes on, you know, hopefully our strikers, whether it be Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin, or even Moise Keane, if he comes on, you know, he's quite fast and strong himself, could be ideal for them. Like, start hitting teams on the break with pace, or start getting in behind as teams start to flag. I think that's what we're going to go for. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we set up similar against Norwich as we did against Liverpool.
And let's not also forget that Norwich, it's not like Norwich is 16th or 17th, the bottom of the league. There's still a couple of points adrift. They need to win. They'll have to play for the win. They can't just sit back, maybe like they did at Goodison in November.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and plus, if you're Norwich, you're not going to look at this as a way cut adrift and dead and buried, because they might have done if everything was normal, but they could look at this going, this could all change with 8 days of, you know, 8 days passing. You know, you could play three games in that time. If you win all three,
be out the drop zone.
The teams around them are, you know, dropping points themselves. That they will look at it as going, this, we can work this to our advantage. We can win games and change the makeup of the table very quickly. This other than the first and second place, this whole table is not going to look like what it would have looked like. I could see Sheffield United finishing bottom half at this rate, considering they were probably going to get in the Champions League before it stops. It's a shame for them, but everything's different. Nothing, you can't bank on nothing, because, well, put, you know, Brighton are beating Arsenal, and it's only Arsenal now, but there's going to be some shock results.
Well, let's just hope we're not one of them on Wednesday.
Yeah, true. I mean,
though having said that, Alan Smith said that Norwich should expect to beat us.
Did he?
Alan Smith, yeah, he did.
I don't care. Like, we never get any credit off to pundits anyway, so I've stopped hoping for any. Don't care. I hope they slate us every single week, and
then we beat them and prove them wrong.
Yeah, I don't care. I honestly don't care.
To be fair, if I'm very similar, I'm getting fed up of pundits more and more every time I watch football now. And if anything, it's just another excuse for you guys to tune into the Toffee Blues and watch us. So
exactly, I'm a
better kind of rubbish, at least.
Well, they're all biased and haven't got a clue, and so am I. I'm biased and I haven't got a clue, but I'm biased for Everton. So you pick your poison. I know about as little as they do. I know I'm as stupid as they all are, but at least I'm pro Everton and they're not.
Yeah, I mean, that makes all the difference. But as they say, those who understand need no explanation. Those who don't matter.
Well, Sky were taking it very seriously. The one Evertonian is where 20 Liverpoolians quote, because they literally had 20 Liverpoolians. Tim Cahill was fighting our corner against everyone.
Don't even get me started on John Barnes.
Kelly Cates needs Dalglish. The actual Kenny Dalglish, everyone.
He was picking a snout in the stands.
I know. I'm surprised the badge man fella wasn't there, or the guy who runs Boss Nights.
Oh, God. Now, we had a saxophone. We don't have time for guitars.
Oh, God.
But, even to the very point of you saying one's worth 20, I mean, Tim Cahill's got more Derby goals than any of them players put together, so it turns out.
Has he?
Yeah, I think he's got like 5 or 6, and I think only John Barnes really scored many in derbies.
I was going to say, I know he wasn't a punter, but we're clearly not including Kenny Dalglish in that. I think had more.
Oh no, we're referring to the goons who Sky had stands and pitch side.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, I'm surprised at Barnes. I'd before my time, but I would have assumed he had loads, but whatever. Surprised he's even getting work with his what showed up on his camera roll.
Well, maybe just need someone to catch on to it a little bit. It seems to be a very football Twitter thing at the moment, but you never know. His career could be in the mud if that gets out.
Definitely.
Right, we'll finish up here anyway. We'll go with our score predictions. What do you think for Norwich versus Everton?
I'm going to go... I mean, I've spent about 20 to 30 minutes saying it's hard to know. I don't know. No one can know. But I'm going to predict an Everton win. And I'm going to go for 1-0. Just because I can't see there being loads of goals considering the way the games have gone, or at least our game went. But I'm not going to... If I'm gonna guess, and I've no idea, I'm going to guess that we win. Why not? 1-0 with Dominic Calvert-Lewin goal.
Oh, very nice. Well, I'm going to carry that unanimously because I would add a 1-0 win in mind as well. I think it's going to be a tight one. We're going to have to play it carefully, but I think we should be decent enough to get the win here. I'm not sure who'll get the goal from me. If you're going to say Calvert-Lewin, I'll say Richarlison. So at least we've got a bit of a variety there. That's as much variety as you get as far as goal scorers at Everton these days.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd like it to be someone else, you know, just to see what it feels like, but I can't see it.
Yeah, I want to imagine the scenes. Who's going to stick a top bins? Just like a Wobey or someone. Like after being like the sort of scapegoat for the derby comes back.
And I know. I'm glad whenever we're not going to go to penalties for the rest of the season, because once those two have stepped up, and probably Leighton Baines, I don't think anyone else has hit the target for months, have they?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Sigurdsson's took a pen, but he missed loads last season, so he's still going to be biting your nails, whatever way you look at it.
Yeah, sooner have Pickford on pens than him. That's that one he hit for England.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he's probably better than most of the team. Well, that's all we've got time for, guys. Unfortunately, there's just the two of us at the end of this one, so no quiz, but we've still got to pick a song, so... You know, we're going to look into a couple of genres. I mean, I don't know about you. I've been using a lot of I've been working out to a lot of songs off the Rocky soundtrack lately. That's kind of how I motivate myself for my workout. So maybe movie soundtracks would be a good idea. Rocky, for instance, you know, I've had a couple of... I mean, I think particularly No Easy Way Out by Robert Tepper. That's an absolute banger, I think, to work out to. I think that's better than Eye of the Tiger, if you'd ask me. But yeah, what's your favourite movie soundtrack, Terry?
Obviously, I quite like, in a modern context, I quite like the Guardians of the Galaxy films, Awesome Mix 1 and Awesome Mix 2.
Yeah,
some proper classic songs on there. You've smashed it there with the Rocky soundtracks. I mean, everyone likes Eye of the Tiger. I quite like, is it Hearts on Fire from Rocky IV?
Yeah, Rocky IV is comfortably the best soundtrack. I mean, No Easy Way Out's off that as well, which is right up there for me. And I think, I know some guy made a compilation video of Neville Southall on YouTube to that song, and I just think that's like the best thing I've ever seen. And
there's even good ones that aren't for working out, like, you know, Living in America and whatnot.
I think Burning Heart, one of my favourites as well, which is actually a better Survivor song than Eye of the Tiger.
Ooh. I don't know. See, the problem with Eye of the Tiger is it became really cliche, didn't it? After it appears in Rocky, but it is a good song. I mean, I'm game for one of the Rocky songs. Which one would you go for?
I'd go with No Easy Way Out by Robert Tepper. Myself, what about you?
Yeah, I'll go for that. Like, it was either going to be that or Hearts on Fire, but no, I'll go with that. I'm quite happy with that.
So, yeah, there we go. We'll finish with that. I mean, we're saying there's no easy way out, but this is actually the way out at the end of the podcast, so...
Yeah, but it wasn't easy.
Can't survive on it. I mean, it's never easy. This is Everton we're talking about, but... We found a way out, even if it wasn't easy, and we'll finish with that. Robert Tepper, no easy way out. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Not knowing if we did all right.